Christ from your dead Christianity. You know, we have a very lively church. We don't have a dead church, but, you know, we can have dead church members. And Pastor just preached about this maybe a couple of months ago about having revival in your personal life. You know, and anybody can have that at any point just by, you know, reading the Bible and praying and getting a hold of God. And, of course, I'm not, you know, thinking of anybody in particular. I'm just saying, hey, you know, we all go through times where we're backslidden and stuff, but listen, you need to awake out of your sleep. You need to rise from the dead, and then look at what it says, and Christ shall give thee light. And that is a wonderful promise there, because here's the thing about it, and we're going to take a look at how the light in the Bible is very good, and of course it's necessary to do the work that we need to do. And so we have this principle here that, you know, if we're doing what God wants us to do, if we are serving Him and we're walking in the light, then He's going to give us more light, and He's going to give us more opportunities and more time to do the work that we need to do for Him. So let's look at verse 15 now. So verse 15, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And verse 16, it says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know what? This is such a true statement that, you know, our days truly can be evil. I'm not talking about, you know, you doing something super evil or wicked or something like that, but, you know, just letting your time, just wasting your time, right? Just letting your day go by where you wake up in the morning and then you go to sleep at night and you didn't really get anything accomplished. You didn't get anything accomplished of any eternal value or anything like that. And, you know, all of us experience those days where we get literally nothing done, where it just feels like, man, it would have just been better that I just, you know, just stayed in bed all day or something, you know, and then God forbid that we're even worse at the end of our day than we were at the beginning. Those are really bad days. But, you know, let me tell you this. The Bible tells us how to avoid these bad days, these evil days, I should say. And look down at verse 17, right afterward. It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So see, if we follow the will of the Lord, if we follow His commandments and we're working for Him, then hey, that's how we can avoid these evil days where we get nothing done for the Lord, and we can get something eternal done for Him. You know, so we need to do the will of the Lord to avoid those bad days. And here's the thing about it, you know, the little things, it's the little things, right? And I want to talk about the little things in life. What do I mean by that? I mean the little things that take up all your time, that distract you, little things like, I don't know, driving to work or waiting in line or making phone calls, whatever. You know, all those things are good. They need to be done. They kind of have to get done in order for you to live just that normal life or whatever. But don't let your life just be about the necessities of life, right? The bare necessities, the things that you have to do to get through your day. But rather, you know, do things that have eternal value, value for the rest of your life, things for the Lord, things that you can get done for Him. And I heard this illustration one time of maybe, you know, think about like a wealthy businessman, for example, right? You know, he has a lot of people who, you know, give him phone calls, trying to take up all of his time. Maybe he has a lot of appointments or meetings or whatever. And those things need to get done. But, you know, think about that big client that he may want. You know, he's not the one that's calling him every 5 minutes or whatever. He's the one that he has to make an appointment with, right? He's got to make it a point. Hey, I'm going to go meet with this guy. In the same way, the big things in life, you know, have to have an appointment, if you think about it like this. I mean, do you have an appointment with your prayer time, like a place and a time where you get together with the Lord and you're just praying to Him? Do you have an appointment, you know, with your Bible reading or your soul winning time or whatever? You know, the thing is that you have to really plan for these things. The little things in life, they happen by accident. They happen because they have to happen. But the big things in life, you have to plan for those, because, you know, it's just so important. You can't let your life just be about the little things. There are literally millions and millions of people in this world today who just go through life, just kind of skating through life, not getting anything done, not really building anything worthwhile, not really serving the Lord at all. And I'm just saying, don't be like that. You know, if you have one thing from that you take away from my sermon, it is to not let your days go by where you're not serving the Lord in some way, shape, or form. So turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. I'm going to read to you another verse. It says in John 12, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you." And there's that light that we were talking about. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." So listen, hey, we need to be walking, we need to be working while we have that light. So I'm taking kind of a secondary application of that verse. So let's read in Jeremiah 15, look down if you would at verse number 9. This is a very obscure passage, basically pronouncing God's judgment. But I'm going to take, again, another more spiritual application here. But look down, if you would, at verse number 9. It says, she that hath borne seven languisheth, she hath given up the ghost. Here's the part that I want to focus on. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded. So here's the thing about it. This proverbial woman that it's talking about here, her son has gone down while it was yet day. How's that possible? How can you look at your clock and be like, oh man, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's dark out here. Let me tell you something. It's all about your perception. See, she thought she had more time to do whatever she needed to get done before that night came. But you know what? The sun came down while she thought it was still day. And this, we should not be like her. We should not be like, oh, well, I can just do that tomorrow. I can serve the Lord later. You know, we are not promised tomorrow, and we don't know when our time will be up, when that sun will go down, proverbially speaking. So let's not be like her, because notice what it says. It says that she is ashamed and confounded. And I don't want you to be like that. I don't want to be like that. We have to redeem our time and do what the Lord wants us to do. You know, soul winning, reading our Bible, praying. We need to do these things while it is yet day. We can't let that sun coming down upon us. So turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 90. I wanted you to check that out, but turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 90. And I'll read to you some more familiar verses. Psalm chapter 90, look down if you would at verse number 9. It says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years, watch this, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now let me tell you something about myself. I love audiobooks. I love stories. I love to listen to good stories of adventure or exploration or conquest or whatever. I like a really good story, whether it's fictional or nonfiction, whatever. I like stories. But let me tell you something. What the Bible's saying here is that our lives are as a tale that is told. It's not just the big name guys like these famous explorers like David Livingstone or whatever. It's our lives are as a tale that is told. And let me ask you this. I think that we've all been asked this question at some point in our lives, but if someone was telling the story of your life, what would they say? And what would you want them to say, right? You know, would they tell a story that you could be proud of or whatever? You know, I've oftentimes found it helpful to think about like the end of my life, right? What do I want people to say about me whenever I end my life, right? And I can kind of work back from there. And of course, God knows what's going to happen in my life, and God is kind of directing, you know, my steps. But, you know, it's good to think about that. That way you can keep your life on a good course and you're not just going to go all crazy directions, and we can serve the Lord together for many years to come. But think about the kings in the Bible, right? So the kings in 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you know, they're very important people. They're some of the most important people in the world at that time. And the Bible sums up their lives in just a few verses most of the time. Just a few verses. Either they started off really good, ended up bad. They were bad all the way through. They were good all the way through. Maybe they started off bad and ended good. I mean, we don't know. But here's the thing about it is that the Bible condenses it just in a few verses. So if the Bible is telling your story of your life in just a few verses, what would you want them to say? You know, would you want to be someone good like King Asa or something? Or would you want to be someone bad like King Ahab? Like, you know, obviously nobody wants to be bad, hopefully, but you know, some did great things, others did very little. And the thing is that we need to think about our lives as we're living them. We need to think about, okay, you know, this is my action, this is what's going to happen, and we need to serve the Lord with our lives while we still can. And look down, if you would, at verse number 10. It says, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. See, it is soon cut off. And it's talking about, you know, 70 years, 80 years. And, you know, to me, 70 years seems like a really far, far off thing. You know, it feels like it's a long way off. But, you know, that's kind of a silly thing to think about, because of the fact I'm already a third of the way there, and it's going to be here before I know it. And really, I need to be thinking about, okay, I need to be serving the Lord with my life every single day. I need to be putting on that new man and serving the Lord, because I don't want my son to go down while it was yet day, like this lady that we talked about. Because here's the thing about it, is that the night cometh when no man can work. all of us have a time when we can work for the Lord and whenever we can't do it anymore. So turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you a couple other verses. It says in Psalm 74, it says, the day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. See, God is in control of these things. He's in control of, hey, you have this amount of time to do some work for him, and then this is whenever your night is coming or whatever. But he has prepared the light and the sun. So he's prepared it for us to be able to do the work that he wants us to do. Evangelizing the world, preaching the gospel, you know, going soul winning, things like that. So we need to take advantage of the time that God has given us while it is yet day, while we have that chance. And I'm not just talking about whenever we die, but really there's a lot of different things. Think about it like this, you know, while we have our feet, you know, we can go preaching the gospel. While we can speak, we can go preach the gospel. While we can read, you know, so there's lots of different ways to look at this, but really at any point, any of these things can just, God can take it away from us. So we need to use what we have while we still can. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, look down if you would at verse number 6. It says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. So in verse number 6, this guy, he's working. He's working in the morning. He's working in the evening. He's got two different things going on. He's got his side hustle or whatever. And then, so he really understands, you know, what it says in verse number 7, that the light is sweet, the light to work by, right? He wants that time so he can get all of his work done, and he could prosper from that. And in the same way, we need to count it a very pleasant thing to have this opportunity and this time to serve the Lord. And just flip over a couple of pages backwards to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'll read to you another verse that talks about this same subject. Verse number 10, Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So just so that God makes it clear, he says, hey, you're going there. You're going to the grave, and there's no work in the grave. There's no work there. So we need to work while we still can. We got to, whatever our hand findeth to do, we got to do it with our might. So, and nothing else really matters. You know, just serving the Lord, that's what we got to do with our lives. So turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you some more verses. I got a lot of verses here. In James chapter 4, it says in verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So see, notice, God's telling us here that we have a little bit of time. Not a lot of time, a little bit of time. Again, 70 years seems like a long time, right? And we could live even longer than that or shorter than that. But you know what? In God's sight, it's a little bit of time. Once we get there, it's like, man, my life went by like that. Went away like a vapor, you know? And so, you know, we got to be careful that we don't get to the end of our lives and we don't regret what we did with our lives, right? Man, I should have served the Lord more. I should have gone to church more. I should have read my Bible more. I should have gotten more people saved. I should have gone out soul winning more. You know, that's kind of why I'm preaching this tonight, because I want everyone to have this sense of urgency. Hey, I need to do something for the Lord. And hopefully everybody in here, you know, is doing that. But, you know, again, we got to be reminded of these things, of course. So you're there in Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to move on to my second point. We talked about how we have limited time on this earth, but you know what? We also have limited resources to serve the Lord as well. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Matthew 25, look down if you would at verse number 1. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Notice, they didn't have enough oil. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, let there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So notice, these five foolish virgins, they were not prepared. They were low on their oil. They were low on these resources, as we'll talk about. You know, and it wasn't that they didn't have the opportunity to get some. They had plenty of time. They could have gone out and bought more oil and been smart about it, but rather they were foolish, they were dumb, they were stupid, and they didn't get their oil. And you know what? They had a terrible punishment for that. And so here's the thing about it. You know, maybe they were lazy, maybe they were thoughtless, maybe they were careless, maybe they just didn't think about it. They didn't think ahead, they didn't plan, and they didn't take these resources, they didn't use it wisely, I should say. They let this precious resource of this oil, they let it just burn away as they were just sleeping and slumbering or whatever, and they ended up regretting it in the end, very severely. And obviously, you know, there's a spiritual application, and we're not really getting into that right now. But, you know, there will be a time whenever you have all the resources that you need to serve the Lord effectively in your life, and then there may be a time whenever you don't have those anymore. What type of resources am I talking about? I'm talking about a great church, like where you're at right now. You know, I mean, I hope all of us stay here forever, but, you know, not everybody's going to be here 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. And so you need to serve the Lord while you got this great church. You need to serve the Lord while you have a great Bible, the King James Bible. You know, I don't know, you know, what the future is going to hold or whatever. You know, pastors talked about whenever he went to jail one time, you know, he didn't have a Bible there with him, so he wasn't able to read the Bible and things like that. So here's the thing about it. We have the resources to serve the Lord right now, and we need to serve him now while we have all of those resources, all those great resources that we got. So let's see here. Because not everyone has the same resources as us. Not everybody has a great church to go to like what we have. Not everybody has the Bible to read in their language or in their country or whatever. But we are so blessed to have the resources that we have right now. And so we need to utilize those. We need to think about this and not just take it for granted that we have it so, it's so good right here in Arizona. So, and we need to serve the Lord now while we still have those resources to tell other people how to be saved and just, you know, do that. So what are we doing with what we have right now, right? We've got these resources. We need to use them while we still have them. Now, Proverbs chapter 6 kind of talks about this as well. It says in verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So see, look, this ant is showing us what those virgins should have known, what those virgins should have done. And you know what? He's gathering his food while he still can, right? He has the opportunity, has the time, and he's gathering the resources that he needs for the winter because, you know, it's implied that he's not going to be able to have any food during the winter. So during the summer, during the harvest, he's getting what he needs. And these virgins should have done that with their oil. They should have gotten it whenever they had the opportunity. And then they would have had plenty of resources. But again, they just squandered it. They just didn't count it as something that was important, and they just wasted it. And you know what? So many of us, you know, I think that we'll have that same attitude sometimes where we just take all these things for granted, all these great gifts that God has given us. The Bible says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, every good gift comes from God. You know, it's like, no, my mom gave me that good gift. No, God gave you that gift. You know, my resume got me this great job. No, God gave you that great job. You know, God gives us everything. Every good gift comes from him. And so we don't need to waste all of these precious resources that he's given us. So I think I told you to turn to Matthew 25. If you're there in Matthew chapter 25, I don't know if you are or not, but get there if you're not and look at verse number 14. And we'll begin reading in verse number 14, Matthew 25, 14. The Bible reads, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So notice, not everyone is given the same amount of resources, right? Here it's called talents. We're going to apply it to resources. I've heard it said that God chooses the cards that are in your deck, and then it's up to you how you play them. You know, I've heard that said before, and it's true. You know, we have it so much better. We have so many more resources here than maybe somebody in some other crazy country over there on the other side of the world or whatever. And so we should be praising God for that, and we should be using those talents or those resources that God has given us wisely. So let's keep reading. In verse number 16, it says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore that the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So notice, this steward here, he did not use his talent wisely, right? He squandered it. He didn't take advantage of the resource that had been given him. And as a result, he had it taken away. You know, that old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? And here's the thing about it. And I want you to focus on the fact that he didn't lose it. He literally had it taken from him, right? And so in our lives, if we don't take advantage of what God has given to us, you know, he may very well take it away from us. And I hope that doesn't happen. But in lots of different ways, I mean, you can use your imagination here. Maybe if we don't go soul winning, the God will just make it, hey, I'm not going to make it to where you can't even walk anymore. And obviously, we don't want things like that to happen. And maybe that's a negative thing to think about, of course. But here's the thing about it. We have to, you know, use these resources that God has given to us and not just take it for granted like it's always going to be available to us, because there will come a time whenever, hey, you know, the night cometh whenever no man can work. And so even if it's not something as tragic as that, you know, someday on this earth we're going to die and we're going to be able to go to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, we need to use our time and resources wisely while we're on this earth. And so let's take a look at another verse. Just flip the page over to Matthew chapter 26, please. And I'm going to read to you from another scripture, Luke 19. It says basically the same thing. "For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away." Now let's look at a good example there in Matthew chapter 26. Look down, if you would, to verse number 7. Matthew 26, verse 7. It says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head." The "his" there is referring to Jesus, "as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." So see, this woman is a great example of someone who used her resources wisely. She used it to literally, we're talking about, you know, serving the Lord and everything, but she literally served the Lord physically while he was on this earth, while he was in her house or whatever. She literally served him while he was on this earth. And you know what? If there's ever a good way to use your resources, it's to serve the Lord, you know, and that's kind of the whole point of my sermon tonight. And so notice what it said here. Jesus said, me ye have not always. He's hinting at the fact that we're limited, right? And they weren't going to have Jesus on this earth forever. You know, maybe he went there to her house like all the time, or maybe it was just once. You know, we don't know. But in that one instance, you know, she used her resources very wisely whenever she anointed his head with oil. And so here's the thing about it is that we won't have these resources for very long, just like her. Maybe 5 years down the road, she doesn't have that ointment anymore. Maybe times got tough and she had to sell the ointment and just to make rent or whatever, you know, we don't know. But you know what? She had it and she used it while she had it, and she used it in the best way possible to serve the Lord. And so we need to be just like her and use our resources that God has given us to of course, serve him. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says this, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had not, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." Right. So, again, the good things that God has given us here, it talks about a wife. It talks about the ability to rejoice, the ability to buy. Hey, we need to use those things while we got the chance, because it says at the end of that, it says that the fashion of this world passeth away. It passeth away. It won't be here forever. Right. So turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to move on to my last point for you tonight. We talked about how we have limited time on this earth. We also talked about how we have limited resources to serve the Lord with. And finally, I want to talk about how we have limited opportunities to serve the Lord, right? And so let's take a look at that. Mark chapter 6, look down if you would at verse 47. This is a great passage. I love this. It says in verse 47, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he," referring to Jesus, "alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea." And watch this, don't miss this. "And would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed to have been a spirit." And look at this. "And cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." This is a wonderful passage talking about Jesus. And it gets us more of a glimpse into his ministry and everything. But listen, the disciples here had a very fleeting opportunity, right? Jesus would have passed by. He would have kept walking. He would have just kept walking while they're just struggling. Maybe their boat's going to capsize. You know, they're in this tempestuous wind here and everything. And they're really struggling here. And you know what? Jesus was walking by. And guess what they did? They didn't hesitate. They didn't wait. They cried out, and Jesus saved them. And of course, this is a great picture of salvation, because Jesus literally, physically saved them from the storm. But you know what? Whenever we have the opportunity to hear the gospel, to get saved, hey, we need to grab hold of that. We need to cry out to God. We need to call upon the name of the Lord while we have that chance. And hopefully everyone here has already done that. But, you know, in the same way, while we're serving the Lord, hey, there's only so many opportunities to serve the Lord. And, you know, think about it like this. Think about the soul winning times here at church, right? I saw in the bulletin, you guys got 2 soul winning times per week. Hey, that's great opportunities right there. But, you know, we don't know. I mean, hopefully it's there forever. But we don't know. And we don't know what a day is going to bring forth, as I keep mentioning. But then not only that, we have mission trips all around the world. And it's like, oh, well, I'll get the next one. I'll get the next one. I'll get the next one. But they're not going to be here forever, you know. And maybe, yeah, so you take advantage of that. Not only that, we have the weekend trips. Hey, they happen every single weekend. Oh, I'll go on the next one. I'll go on the next one. Well, listen, we have a very limited amount of opportunities on this earth. They seem like they're going to go forever. We have this illusion that we have an abundance of resources and time and opportunities, but it's just an illusion. Everything, all these things are going to go away someday. None of these things are going to last. Only the things that we've done for Christ, those are the things that are going to last. So these opportunities, they may go in the future. We don't know. But turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to read to you another verse. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but listen to this, but ye lacked opportunity. So, you know, we're not going to go into everything that's talking about here, but I just wanted to point out, hey, here's a group of people who lacked an opportunity. So you may say, oh, well, all these opportunities are always going to be there. No, these people lacked an opportunity, right? And so we can be lacking an opportunity in the future. So that's why we need to just grab a hold of it. We need to grab a hold of it while we have the chance, while we have the opportunity to do these things for the Lord. Now, look down, if you would, at Luke chapter 10. Look down at verse number 38. Verse number 38, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You know, it baffles me, and it probably does all of us, that, you know, Martha here, she literally had Jesus in her literal house, and she just wanted to clean. Now look, if Jesus would come over to my house, I would want to clean too. But you know what? I would do it before he got there. That way I could just hang out with him and stuff. And again, just like with the other story, we don't know how often Jesus came to her house. Maybe he came every single day. We don't know. Maybe this was the only time. We don't know. But you know what? If he came every single day of his entire ministry, that's still only three and a half years. And pretty soon, hey, those opportunities are going to just be gone. And so what a wasted opportunity here. You know, Mary, she picked the good part. But then Martha, she was just being dumb. You know, she was just out there just cleaning. In doing whatever. So she was not wise with this opportunity that she had been given. What an opportunity to sit down and just talk to Jesus, you know, face to face on this earth while he was here. Such a great opportunity. And I'm sure she regretted it later. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, let me give you another example. It says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." So once again, we have these two people here, the son that causes shame and the wise son. One is gathering in summer while he has that opportunity, and then the other one is sleeping during the same time. And so maybe the winter is coming and they don't have enough, that foolish son doesn't have enough food to eat. We don't know. But, you know, the one is foolish, one is wise, because the wise one took the opportunity that he had at that moment. Again, you may have that opportunity to serve the Lord. Hey, don't let it go by. Don't let it be wasted. It's just a wasted opportunity, you know. Now, flip back one page to Luke chapter 9. We're just about done here. Luke chapter 9, I'll just read to you a couple more. I'm going to read to you two more really bad examples here. Luke chapter 9, look down if you would at verse 59. Luke 9, 59, it says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "and he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' Jesus said unto him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, 'No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" See, they didn't realize what an opportunity they had here, because here's the thing about it. They got some really good excuses. You know what I mean? Like, these are really good excuses. But you know what? Really, no excuse is good enough to not serve the Lord. And I don't care what type of excuse you have for not serving the Lord, not walking, not following Jesus as they're literally trying to do here. You know, there's no excuse good enough for not doing that. And so they didn't realize, they just wasted their opportunity. And, you know, they should have just let these worldly problems, you know, they just should have let them pass. And, you know, oftentimes we do the exact same thing, where we have so many opportunities to do the things that God has commanded us to do, and we just decide to do something else, right? And this is just common for all of us. And all I'm saying is that we need to try and minimize these, right? Because we have so many opportunities, and we just need to take advantage of them while we can. Now, turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 22, and that's where we're going to end, the last chapter in the entire Bible. So here's the thing. We should learn from these examples. As I mentioned a minute ago, there's this illusion that we're always going to have enough time, enough resources, enough opportunities. But, you know, those opportunities, those time, that those resources, they're fleeting. They're going to go away someday. And so we need to take advantage of this. Don't be like that proverbial woman that we saw in Jeremiah, whose sun went down while it was yet day. You know, don't be like those five foolish virgins who wanted the oil and then they didn't have it because they didn't use those resources while they had the chance. Don't be like Martha, who wasted her opportunity just cleaning and doing housework while she could have been spending that time with Jesus on this earth. Use your time wisely. Make the most of these gifts that God has given to us. A good church, a great Bible, the only word of God. You know, the things, great fellowship, great friends, great everything, right? He's given us so many wonderful things, and we need to use those things for Him. So use it wisely. Use your time, resources, opportunities. Use them wisely. Revelation chapter 22, look down if you would at verse number 12. It says, "And behold, I come," look at this, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So let us work. Let us work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So let's pray.